Well, good morning. Please take out your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12. As always, I am so grateful to have the opportunity to study the Word of God with you this morning. I pray that you'd be benefited, we'll all be benefited by what we study today. If you're a person who likes application in your sermons, this sermon is for you. We're gonna throw a bunch of application at you today. Hopefully, you can find some way to put that into use in your life. Last Sunday evening, we began our lesson with a simple but a challenging question. The question that we asked was, are you making the most out of what God is giving to you? And we took our study from Matthew 25 and we studied the parable of the talents. And we noticed that it was important that when our master gives us something, we need to make sure that we make the most of it. We need to make sure that we do something with it, because the parable of the talents ends this way. Matthew 25 and verse 29 says this, "For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so we know that we need to make the most out of the talents, out of the abilities, out of the opportunities that God has given to us. But you know, I realized something about that message as I thought about it a little bit more deeply. In a sermon like that, where you talk about making the most out of what God has given to you, making the most of your talents, a sermon like that inevitably leads to another question, doesn't it? What's my talent? And I imagine that there are some people sitting here this morning, some people sitting here, some Christians who think to themselves, look, I want to make the most out of what God has given to me. I don't want to be that worthless, lazy slave who gets cast into the outer darkness. I want to make the most out of what God has given to me. I just don't know what God's given to me. I don't know what my talent is. Have you ever wondered that? And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, I think we struggle with that question. I think there are a great many Christians who struggle with that question. And I believe part of the reason we struggle with that is because we have a rather specious view of what a talent really is, biblically speaking. Because here's what we usually do. We talk about our talents, we talk about using what God has given to us, and then instantly, because we use the word talent, our mind goes to two places. We start thinking about two things. We start thinking about things that are public, right? Visions of America's Got Talent start dancing in our heads, don't we? We think about playing the piano at our middle school talent show, right? We think about things that are public. And for that reason, we start talking about performing public acts of worship, don't we? Use your talent. If you can be a preacher, you need to preach. If you can teach, teach. If you can lead singing, you need to lead singing, lead a prayer, serve on the Lord's table, help pass out the collection trays, right? We talk about things that we do in public, which if you think about it, is really frustrating for a couple of people, right? What about our ladies? If those are all the talents that we have, if that's all we can do, what are our ladies supposed to do? It's also really frustrating for those who don't do as well in front of crowds. They may struggle even more than anybody else figuring out what their talent is. We think about something that is public. We also think about something that is unique to me, right? We think about some remarkable ability that I have, that I can do, that nobody else in the world can do. We think about something public and something unique. And it's no wonder when we think about that, when that's where our mind goes, that we struggle to figure out what our talents are. But I want to tell you this much this morning, brothers and sisters. I want us to make sure we reevaluate those assumptions. I want you to hear me on this, that using my talent does not mean publicly showcasing remarkable abilities. Using my talent is different than that. Using my talent in this kingdom simply means making the most of whatever ability I have. It means making the most of whatever ability I have. You see, there are plenty of talents, brothers and sisters, that are hidden in plain sight. Meaning there are opportunities that we have to make a difference in the kingdom that we don't see, that we don't appreciate, because they aren't public, because they aren't flashy, because they aren't unique. And in Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us about six different talents, six different abilities that God has given to Christians to help serve in the kingdom. And I want you to appreciate this, that these talents that Paul is going to give us, they are not unique. They are not flashy. They are simple, everyday works. But they are what makes the difference in the kingdom. And so, brothers and sisters, when you wonder, what's my talent? You need to make sure you consider those talents that are hidden in plain sight. Talents that we sometimes overlook because they're not public, not unique, not flashy. Romans 12 and verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. This morning we're going to talk about those six talents that have been hiding in plain sight. And before we talk about those, I think we need to appreciate something about this text. I want to point something out that Paul makes it very clear. And I think we all need to understand that all of us should be striving to get better in each one of these areas. These are not, you can only do one of these things, right? That's not what we're talking about here. But at the same time, I think Paul makes it very clear that we're going to differ in our talents. That when it comes to my talents, when it comes to these six talents, each of us are going to differ, and they're going to differ in substance, and they're going to differ in scope. That means you and me are going to have different talents. You and me are going to be able to do different things differently, right? And some of you are going to be able to do things better than me, and some of you are going to be able to do things worse than me. Our talents are going to differ in both substance and scope. As Paul said in verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And that simply means that God has given each and every one of us different abilities to do certain things well. Our talents differ in substance and scope. And so as we go through these six talents, this is what I want us to do. I want you to find yourself in Romans chapter 12. I want you to find your talent in Romans chapter 12. As we talk about these six talents, find out. See which one fits your personality. See which one jives with your abilities. Find your talent. And when you found it, let yourself be absorbed by it. Give yourself over to it. Spend the next days, the next weeks, the next month, the next years figuring out how you can get better and better and better at your talent. And so when you wonder what talent you have, ask yourself, can I serve? Can I serve? Being a servant means working, sweating, spending yourself for others. It means cooking meals and moving boxes and furniture. It means taking you to and from the airport. It means yard work and housework and all the other kinds of work that I can do for you. In Acts 6, it meant that men went out and made sure that the widows of that congregation, that first church, had the food that they needed. Serving means doing things for others that make their lives easier, that make their lives better, doing things that help. Ask yourself, is that something that I can do? Look, there are some people here who have that talent. Some people here have the ability to serve. For some of you, the motto of our country does not fit. The motto of our country is what? I'm just too busy. I just got too much stuff going on. And there are some people here to whom that doesn't apply. For whatever reason, some of you are retired and you have a more flexible schedule than everybody else. And so you have more of an ability to serve than everybody else. Some of you are younger, and that means that you have more energy and you have fewer health difficulties holding you back, keeping you from being able to serve. And some of you are just weird. Some of you are just wired differently. You don't get tired. Some of us have that talent to be servants. And there are plenty of opportunities here in this church for you to use that talent. When you wonder, what's my talent? What can I do? Ask yourself, can I be a servant? Can I serve the people here? And when you're wondering what talent you have, ask yourself this question, can I teach? That's the second thing that Paul mentioned here. He mentions teaching. And the teaching that he's referring to here is simply one person helping another person better understand the Word of God. It's like what Philip did for the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 when he ran up to his chariot and he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? Or what Brother Bowman would say to random people in the coffee shop sometimes, understandest what thou readest? And Philip guided him through the Scriptures, starting in that place, showing him that Jesus was the Christ, helping him understand God, understand the Word of God and the will of God better. That's what is meant by teaching. It is this ability that people have to guide someone through the Word of God so that they have a better understanding of God and His will. Brothers and sisters, is that something that you can do? Do you have that talent, that ability? And some of you here do have that talent. You have a remarkable knowledge of the Word of God. You are just stuffed to the brim with Bible knowledge. You know it backward and forward and inside and out. And on top of all of that, you know how to communicate that effectively. You know how to communicate that in a way that helps somebody better understand the Word of God. And if that describes you, you need to use that talent. You need to be a teacher. And I want to make one thing very clear when we say this. I want to make one thing very clear that if you are a teacher and if that is your talent, you do not have to wait for a slot teaching an adult Bible class in order to use that talent. That is not the only way to teach. Now, certainly we appreciate our teachers and the ladies who teach the children's Bible classes and the men who teach the adult Bible classes. They do a wonderful job using that talent. We appreciate that. But if you are a teacher, you don't have to wait for that specific opportunity to teach. You can teach the people here. And that may be as simple as sending a text message with a Bible verse, helping them understand better. That may be as simple as having a conversation with somebody who doesn't know as much as you do out in the lobby. That may be as simple as calling someone that doesn't know as much as you do and setting up a time to just read the Word of God together. You know, there are new Christians here that would jump at the opportunity to sit down for an hour once a week and just read the Word of God with somebody who knows so much more than they do. We need to be using that talent if we're teachers. And so if you want to use your talents, you need to ask yourself, can I teach? Is that an ability that I have? And when you're wondering what talent you have or how can you serve in the kingdom, you need to ask yourself this question as well. Can I exhort? Can I exhort? The word exhort means to thoroughly urge. It means to encourage. In fact, in the original Greek, it's actually a really cool word, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong maybe. I don't know. But it's the word paraklesis. And simply it means to call to your side. You know what it means to exhort? It means to put your arm around somebody. To call them to your side when they are struggling, when they are down, when they are depressed, when they are hurt, when they are troubled, when they are worried, when they've been torn up by life. You paraklesis. You call them to your side, you put your arm around them, and you strengthen them, you lift them up. Is that a talent you have? Is that something that you can do? Some of you here have that talent. You know, in Acts, there was a man named Joseph. There was a man named Joseph who was so good at that, they nicknamed him the son of exhortation, or the son of encouragement. His name was Barnabas. And some of you here are just like Joseph. You are a Barnabas. You are a son of exhortation. Some of you have a knack for picking up people who are down. And brothers and sisters, if that's you, you need to be using that talent. We need that. We need exhortation. And here in this church, opportunities abound for you to use that talent. In any church, and especially in a church of this side, at any time, there's a great number of people who need you to call them to their side and lift them up. If you have that talent, if you are an exhorter, then you need to listen closely to the announcements. And you need to sit in here 5 minutes before services, and you need to watch what's going up here, going on here up on the slide. You need to know who you need to call, who you need to see, who you need to talk to lift up and encourage. You need to go to the website. Here we go. And because of the engineering of the talented Heather Ray, you need to go to the members side. And you need to click on the tab that says Member News, where there is a vast list of people in this church detailing what they're struggling with and who they are. And if you're an exhorter, you need to go there. And when you find that list, you need to realize those are your marching orders. When you're wondering, how can I use my talent? Ask yourself, can I exhort? And when you're wondering what talent you have, ask yourself this question, can I give? Can I give? And make no mistake that in this context, Paul is talking about charity. He's talking about taking my capital, taking my stuff, taking my money, and giving it away to help another person. That's what the church did in Acts 4 when somebody had a need. They would give it, lay it at the apostles' feet so that it could be distributed to those who had a need for money. And brothers and sisters, when those who are able give like that, it makes such a difference in the church. You know, I was wondering this week about givers. If we are all members of a body, then what are givers? What are givers to the body of Christ? And it occurred to me that givers are a lot like adrenaline. That givers are the adrenaline for the body of Christ. They show up suddenly at exactly the right moment that they're needed. And they help us overcome things that we couldn't overcome without them. And then once the need is met, they fade into the background until the next time that they are needed. What a difference it makes when we have people in this church who are willing to give, who are willing to use that talent in the way. Givers make a difference. And you need to ask yourself, is that something that I can do? Some of you here have that talent. For whatever reason, you are well suited and well equipped to give much, to give with liberality. Maybe you have a great job that compensates you well. Maybe you received a wonderful inheritance. Maybe you've just made better choices than everybody else. You've been wise with your money, and so you have more that you're able to give. Whatever the reason, you need to know, that's a talent that can make a difference. That's a way that you can serve in the kingdom by giving what you have to help others who are in need. If you want to use your talents, you simply need to ask yourself, can I give? Is that something I can do? And when you wonder what talent you have, you need to ask yourself this question as well. Can I lead? And here in this verse, Paul is talking about spiritual leaders. He's talking about Christians who have a talent for leading other Christians to Christ. Christians who through wisdom and rebuke and admonishment and instruction are able to keep other Christians that they love on the right path. And you need to ask yourself, is that something that I can do? Some of you have that talent. You know, we have 15 elders here who do a remarkable job at being spiritual leaders for this church, at shepherding the flock of God that is here. And that is primarily what Paul's talking about when he talks about leaders. He's talking about shepherds. He's talking about men who are in the office of overseer, who are in charge of guiding these sheep and keeping them on the straight and narrow. But I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, that some of you here have that talent to be a spiritual leader, even though you may not be qualified for the office of an elder. And even if you aren't qualified for the office of an elder, that doesn't mean you can't use your talent. You may never be qualified for whatever reason to actually hold that position, to actually do that job or hold that office. But you know what? If you are a spiritual leader, if you have a talent for helping Christians stay on the straight and narrow, you need to use that talent. You need to be a leader. We need more of that. We need to develop those talents. When you wonder, what talent do I have? You need to ask yourself, can I lead? Can I lead? And finally, brothers and sisters, when you're wondering what talent you have, you need to ask yourself this: can I show mercy? Now, obviously, all Christians should show mercy. We know that after all, James 2 and verse 13. Judgment is merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. We know that we ought to show mercy, but this mercy here is a different kind of mercy. It's not just mercy as in withholding punishment. It is mercy that moves you to take pity on someone and to do what they need to help them. And especially in this context, I believe that this mercy that we're talking about is mercy for somebody who's been broken by sin. It's showing mercy for that person who has gone off into the world and who has been broken by sin. Showing mercy for that person who has fallen away from the Lord. Showing mercy for that person who has come back to the Lord damaged by all the sin that they've done. And having the mercy to welcome them in, not hold it against them, and show them the love that they need. Is that something that you can do? Some of you have that talent. Some of you guys were born with just these beautiful hearts. Hearts that feel everything, full of sympathy and empathy. It just comes naturally to you to weep with those who weep, because you care. You feel their pain like it's your own pain. Some of you have that talent, that special knack for showing mercy. And you need to exercise it. Show mercy for those who've been broken. Show mercy for those who need help. If you want to use your talents, ask yourself, can I show mercy? I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that these things that we're talking about are not flashy, are they? These talents are not things that make people go ooh and ah. These are not things that you do on a stage. They don't require a lot of drama or a lot of fanfare. But the church is well nourished by Christians who choose to exercise these talents. I hope that you can find yourself in Romans chapter 12. I hope that you see which of these talents fits well with your personality and with your abilities. And I hope that as a result, you'll look at this text, you'll look at that talent, and you'll give yourself over to it. Because when you've done that, you will truly be making the most out of what God has given to you. And brothers and sisters, you need to remember that if there is someone here who has not been baptized for the remission of their sins, you need to make the most out of what's been given to you now too. Christ gave us the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, which can cleanse us from our sins. And if you have not, believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, and confessing his name before men, been baptized in water to have those sins washed away, you are not making the most out of the precious gift that God has given to us in his Son. And you need to do that right now. If we can help you with anything, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.